Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the fragments that we possess of the poem authored by the pre-Socratic philosopher Parmenides of Elea, there is a choice that is placed before him by the goddess who he is talking with, and it's an easy choice for him. He definitely knows which side he's supposed to pick, and he's also advocating for us which side we're supposed to pick as well, but it's a choice between two fundamental ways of looking at things, or two roads, paths, routes, however you want to translate the word hodos, which can mean any of those. And in a way, it makes sense to talk about it as a road or a path because, you know, you're coming to a juncture point where you have to make a decision. And if you go this way, you're going to see things in one way. If you go this way, well, you're not only going to see things in a different way, you're also going to wander around as he takes human beings to be doing in all of their lifetimes if they're not taking the right road. And so the goddess makes a distinction for him and also imposes a choice. There's a little bit of a paradoxicality to this that we'll explore in just a bit. Actually, there's a lot of paradoxicality to it, but there's one bit in particular that has to do with bringing these two roads or routes before the mind's eye and then requiring a choice between them, because it means that he's not actually on either of them at the moment that he is choosing. So there's a bit more to be explained there. So after the first part where he goes to the different gates and justice opens them up and all of that sort of stuff, the goddess says, "You are welcome. It was no ill fate that prompted you to travel this way, which is indeed far from mortal men, beyond their beaten path." So this is already a new way of proceeding. And he says, "No, it was right and justice. You must learn everything." And here's where the distinction comes between the two paths. You must learn everything. Both the steady heart of well-rounded truth or persuasive truth, the heart of truth, aletheis hetor, literally the word for heart, but it could be the core, and that is that word for truth, aletheia, right? Just placed into the genitive, indicating, you know, the origin or something like that. So that's one part of it. The other possibility is the beliefs, the doxai, the opinions of mortals, brotai, those who are not immortal, right? And she goes on to say that in these there is no true trust or belief. And the word belief there is translating pistis, which we also translate as faith. So not quite the same thing as doxa, something you might consider to be deeper, more substantive, right? But notice there's that word aletheis there as well. So one path is the path of truth, of genuine truth. The other is what appears to be true to mortal beings, but is not actually true, and in fact is lacking in truth, which means that it's false. So she goes on and says, "You shall learn them too and come to see how beliefs must exist in an acceptable form, all pervasive as they altogether are." So she's saying you have to actually make some sort of decision between these. And then in section 2 of the poem, going by Diels numbering, we have two different routes, two different hodoi roads sketched out. And here we run into some metaphysical principles. It's no longer just about truth, it's about being and existence, or isness, if you want to say, right? To make a sort of neologism there. So we have a trustworthy route or path, and then we have one that's untrustworthy. A divine path, a human path. A path that's in touch with truth, a path that's in error. So what defines these? That it is. Now, you might say, well, that's a weird road sign, isn't it? You know, telling me that it is. This is the path of being. Not just being, being. Anai in Greek, the word for to be. What it is to genuinely exist. And so that it is one, you could say, name for this path. In Greek, hoposestin. And then also along with this is a correlative. Non-being cannot be. Hos ukestin, right? Hos that, or you know, that it is the case. Ukestin, it is not the case. It is not, it does not exist. Me enai. Me is the Greek word for not. It's a privative in this case, right? Enai is the word for being. So non-being or lack of being or not being cannot be, cannot exist. So you should let that sink in a little bit. That is what defines this path. The realization that being is, non-being cannot be. So what about the other side? That it is not, hos ukestin, that what is not, that anything is not. So mortals say that something isn't, that there is non-being in some way within existence. And that for Parmenides is sort of a sign of error, sign that there's something drastically wrong there. And then there's another Greek phrase that's associated with it, that something must not be, or, you know, there's other ways of translating it. It cannot, it must not be. There's different ways to say it. The Greek is hos chreon esti me enai, that non-being, that not to be, me enai, has to be. So this is the route of mortals. They don't realize, according to Parmenides, that it's impossible for non-being to be, or not being, or whatever is the opposite of being to be. There is, strictly speaking, no opposite of being in this case. He goes on a little bit further in this and says, this is the path of trust, for truth attends it. And then this is the path of untruth. Then a little bit later, he's going to talk about this, how we actually access this. So this is fragment 7. For never shall this be overcome, so that things that are not are, you should restrain your thinking, your thought, noema, from this way of seeking. And then she says, do not let habit, ethos in Greek, compel you along this well-tried path. Don't let habit of thinking the way that human beings tend to think draw you away from the trustworthy path into the untrustworthy path. She also says, don't allow your senses to draw you in there. And she mentions the eye, the ear, and the tongue. Each of these sees plurality of sensations and things changing. Parmenides is actually telling us on this path that there is no change, there is no motion, everything is one. And that's what the truth is. Our senses deceive us into thinking that there's a multiplicity and that things come into being or cease to be, right? Generation and corruption. So a little bit later, she's going to say, on this way, there are many signs indicating that what is unborn and imperishable, entire alone of its kind, unshaken and complete. It was not once, nor will it be, since it is now altogether single and continuous. We mistakenly think, because we trust habit, or we trust our eyes, ears, and tongue, or other senses, that there is a distinction within what is, and that there are many different things, and that they come into being and disappear and can be destroyed. little bit further on, well, actually, still in fragment 7, she tells him that he should use reason to come to a decision on this contentious test that she has announced. So this is the way of thinking, which seems to be counterintuitive, right? It goes against our normal way of understanding things. It goes against our culture. But Parmenides is advocating a monism, saying that everything that exists is genuinely one, and that thought and reason help us to see this to be the case. So, what else can we say about this? She is imposing this choice on him, saying, you have to decide between these. You have to decide whether to trust your reason and thought on the path that I've spelled out for you, or to be like another human being and trust in all this other stuff and be deluded. She goes on a little bit later and she says that this path ought to be left unthought. And, you know, literally just the privative of something that is thought, and nameless, not given a name, because it's not a true way. And again, that word truth, aletheos, is used. This is not really a true way. It's not a path anywhere. It's simply a wandering around. This path, however, is, as she says, a true path. It's a real path. And here is a rather unusual Greek term, atetumon, which signifies that this is reality itself. And so Parmenides is being given a choice, coming down, you know, ostensibly in this poem from a goddess, offering a genuine insight into reality as opposed to a wrong-headed view that's not even into reality but into illusion. Now, there is, as I mentioned, a bit of a paradox here. The fact that there is a choice between these and that reason makes that choice, doesn't that seem to imply that somehow this non-being is involved in being? And he's not the same thing as the goddess, is he? Since he went on a trip with this goddess and then she's revealing things to him. Well, you could say that that's actually, you know, sort of the framework or the cover of this path that Parmenides is using to get this point across to the reader, and that if Parmenides is actually correct, there is no goddess, there is no you and me, we're all just this thought thinking itself, this thought that is identical to being. That's a little bit tough to wrap your head around, but that is one of the implications if we follow out this logic of the two paths. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.